This episode of Motherhood in Hollywood is sponsored by Kinsa, the world's smartest thermometer. When my daughter isn't feeling well, Kinsa is the only thermometer I trust. It remembers temperature, symptoms, and medications, so I don't miss a beat. Find it at kinsahealth.com, the world's smartest thermometer.
Come on, Mama!
Grab your popcorn and goobers. It's time for Motherhood in Hollywood with your host, Heather Brooker. This is a crude prude's perspective on being a full-time mom in showbiz. She's not a perfect mom, but she can play one on TV. Hold on to your butts. Here's Heather.
To do on a Monday night, so it's you guys. Thank you so much for coming. I appreciate it. I do want to thank you all for coming to support Motherhood in Hollywood, and of course, your donation tonight supports No Kid Hungry as well. They provide meals to hungry kids all over the United States. In fact, one in five children in the U.S. right now is going hungry. So, like I said, every dollar you make or every dollar you donate goes to help provide a meal for them. So thank you so much. So give yourselves a round of applause for that. So I just want to say that really the best part of this evening is that we are helping to make a difference in the lives of children across America. And the worst part of this evening is the herpes outbreak that I'm currently experiencing. Yeah, it's bad, you guys. Moms get herpes too. Did you know that? Don't worry, I've got some medication. So a few months ago when I was actually medicating my outbreak, I was talking to my husband, and I thought it would be fun to do my podcast live in front of an audience, because I'm pretty sure no one's ever done this before. I'm a groundbreaker. And then I was like, you know what would be even better is if we try to do it for charity, because so many people will want to come to that. And here we are. Here we are, just the five of us. God bless you. No, I really do thank you guys for coming. I want to thank also a couple of ladies who have been a tremendous help to me really quick. I'm doing it now because I will probably forget later. But Mary Diaz, Heather Harper, and Retta King, thank you guys so much for all your help. I would not have been able to put tonight together without you. Yay, thank you. And I want to thank our sponsor of the event really quick. A big shout out to BTB Management, in particular, Nelson Diaz. Where are you at, Nelson? Are you? I see the blue. Nelson told me before the show that he will sign anybody who buys him a drink tonight. So, you need a manager. Buy Nelson a drink. How about we give away some prizes really quick? Is that sound good? All right, where's Greg? All right, he had to make an entrance. Okay. So the first prize, let me just say really quick what it is. Oh wait, I need Sarah's thing. Where's Retta? Retta took it. Can you go out and really quick and tell Retta I need Sarah's thing? So the first prize I'm going to give away... Oh wait, Tim, this is so awkward.
You look great.
Oh my God, bless you. What's your name, sir? Come here. What's your name?
Will.
Come here, Will.
Yeah, Will!
Let's do this. We're not on video, but it's all good. So, hi. Are you single, sir?
I'm not.
Are you seeing anyone?
He's out there.
Hi, Dreamy. Hi. So, how long have you been a fan of moms?
MILFs or like. For quite some time.
This is a clean show. You don't have to be gross about it. How long have you been a fan of mom?
I would say 33 years since I'm 33 and my mom is...
Oh, you think you're 33. Oh, my God, you guys. Delusion is everywhere in L.A. All right. Oh, someone bid on the raffle item that we were supposed to give away. Well, I hope they bid a lot. I'm going to just show you guys the best part of the show right here. You're welcome. That's right. You get what you paid for. Okay. This is for a guest spot on Motherhood in Hollywood. That's right. You can be my guest. Motherhood in Hollywood. The winner is 655-009. 009. Nobody?
Me.
Shut up. Are you serious?
He did buy 200
what
tickets.
What a sweetheart,
so.
Though. Thank you for buying a ticket. All right. So, 012. 655-012. Who? Is that also CRISPR? How did you buy? You're a turkey.
Yep, that's me. Oh,
my gosh. We cannot make this sum up, people.
Shake it
you pick it this time. If it's
basically 13 for 15.
Chris, why did you buy tickets, you turkey? This is all part of the podcast, by the way. All of this will go live into the internet to the millions of people that listen to Motherhood in Hollywood. Yeah. Just so you know, you're all part of the show. 35035. Who is it? You won! Yay! All right, thanks, Greggy. All right. Oh my god, that was awesome. Thanks, Chris Brooker, for your support and the best husband in the world. I love you. You're the sweetest. All right, Greg, thank you. Does everyone have their prizes? Are you guys ready to start the show? All right, please welcome my guests for tonight, Lori Kilmartin and Danielle Koenig! I wanted you guys to feel as fabulous as you are.
Wow.
So, done. Thank you. And a chair does it, huh?
I feel like the rug, so.
The rug was the last minute purchase, and now I have regrets because you just called it out and how.
No.
So I know you guys just came from work. You've been working all day, and I really appreciate you taking the time to come on my little podcast.
Sure.
My pleasure.
I'm sure they all came from work, too.
Yeah,
right?
That's a good point.
I don't think so. A lot of them are actors. No, then
whatever. Audience members, all right.
A lot of actors in the audience tonight, so probably not.
Okay.
Well, 2 weeks ago, I went to a mandatory EDD meeting, so that, you know, the unemployment thing.
You
shuffled in with all the other losers.
And did they approve your EDD request, or...?
Yeah, but you can't make the mistake of saying, like, oh, God, this is the worst. Do you ever, well, you haven't been unemployed in a while, but.
I have, though, but I've done that.
Yeah, and they'll ask you on your form, this was a separate thing other than the meeting, they'll ask you on your form, did you look for work? But yeah. now I'm doing it online. So did you look for work? And I said, no, you know, because I had a job coming up.
Right.
But I wrote, no, oh, no, I didn't, I just wrote no because I have an agent, and they look for work, and nothing, I didn't have anything to apply to that week.
Right.
Because they ask you to fill out the address and name of the place.
Yeah.
So I said no, and then I got a phone call, and they were like, so why didn't you look for work? And I'm like, well, I'm a writer, and that's not how it works. Mm-hmm. You know, the agent, and they're like, and I was explaining it. She goes, did you look for work or not? And I said, yes, I did. Yeah. I go, so I'll just lie from now on. Is that what you want me to
you
do?
You should totally lie.
That's what I said. And she was, and she just, like, didn't care. I was like, okay, got it. I'm going to lie from now on.
That's what I did when I was out of work actor. I mean, now I'm a working actor constantly.
Right.
No, I lied all the time. I mean, who's going to check? And who cares? They're not going to come and just track you down or anything. So are you still unemployed?
No. I started a... job last Monday.
Okay.
I'm working at Playboy.
Whoa. I don't know why I got so excited about that.
She's the final centerfold.
Exactly.
You made it.
Did you see that woman?
It's Pamela Anderson, isn't it?
She's the final. No. She's the final cover girl.
So she's not doing
centerfold. There's a young hottie patati who's the centerfold.
Oh, she's okay. Blonde.
Yeah. She's
more than likely.
She's like from Georgia, the country. And they make sure to specify that in their article.
She's been abused.
She's been annexed one or two times. But she's shocking. Shocker. Gorgeous.
Yeah, of course.
No, so I work at Playboy TV.
Okay.
And I know no one has it.
No, some of you have it. Nelson Diaz.
My manager said to me, well, if you could get me a copy of that, that'd be great, because I don't get Playboy. I'm like, no one does. No, I'll never see it.
What, do you want a copy of your show or a copy of...
Like, of the show. Of the show.
Of other shows.
Yeah. I'm sure you'd want that, too.
Yeah.
So should I tell you the premise of the show?
Of course.
Okay, so there is a show in Germany called Sexy Alm, which is German for sexy Alps. And
Alps, like
Alps,
the mountains.
Okay. So the premise is, it's kind of like a reality show, but, well, it's scripted. You can tell it's scripted, you know, who don't know what they're saying, because it's German. But it's scripted, but there's no soundtrack, because they don't have the budget for that. There's no music, and they get in these, like, adventures, like, with like, a farmhand, and, like, the man and woman who run the the farm in Germany. It's really hot, and there's lots and lots of full frontal sex. They don't show penetration, but they show everything else.
Oh, well, who wants that?
Right.
Wait, so what are you writing?
So we are... I was going to explain
I'm trying to...
We have co-opted it for ourselves, and we are writing it as a funny series.
Oh.
So we dub it, and
that's
we
great.
Provide the voices, and we've given it its own plot line, which is that these are three PhD students who... are conducting an experiment to see if they can become sluts. So that's the premise.
Oh my God.
And it's, yeah, it's an
attempt. That's funny.
Yeah, it's really funny.
You
it's
know,
really fun.
Couldn't you use, like, stings from a garage band or something? Like
they, Playboy, I guess, put music in it.
Okay.
So, yes.
Okay.
But the music matches. It's, like, really, really bad. But it's okay, because you know that if they had the budget, their music would also be bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because it's German. And
sure,
it's
sure, sure.
Weird.
And,
like,
accordions and stuff.
Like, one of them is almost attractive, like, but they're all naked all the time.
Yeah, so it's good. It's good.
I think if you're naked, you don't need to be attractive.
I guess. Their bodies are good, but they're
yeah.
just kind of weird.
I feel like, yeah, like with porn and whatnot, I think we have a couple of porn stars in the audience here tonight. But with porn, it's like, you don't have to have a good face, right? No
one has a lot of confidence.
You have a lot of confidence.
Yeah.
But you don't have to have a good face.
Right.
Maybe not.
I'm so
not.
Glad that we're 3 minutes
away.
Your face
needs to hold a lot.
Yeah.
Of stuff on it.
Yes. It has to be.
Oh my God. It took you guys way too long.
They might
I'm
going to
spell it out from here on out.
It helps if you've got like a concave face or something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Oh, don't owe me.
So speaking of children. I
on your face, yes.
On her face. I love it. We're 5 minutes in. We're talking about come on your face.
Right? Oh, my God.
Oh, I know. Sorry.
No, that's not what I was talking
about. Oh, well, you're talking about babies. You guys are both moms. And so tell me a little bit about your kids or your child and tell me how you manage your life in this business with your child. Yeah.
Our kids are the same age. We
yeah.
each have an 8-year-old
boy
and mine's a 9-year-old. When is she turned 9 pretty soon?
Oh, no, he turned 8 in September.
Oh, okay. So I have a 9-year-old. And yeah.
So how do you do that? Because you work for Conan, right?
Right.
Are you, do you have crazy hours with Conan, or is it...
They feel crazy to me, but when I talk to other TV writers, they don't seem crazy.
It seems crazy to me.
Yeah. It's like 9 till, between 7 and 7:30, mostly,
okay.
Monday through Wednesday, excuse me. And then Thursday, we get out a little bit earlier.
Yeah.
Friday's like 10 to 6, 10 to 5, something like that.
And now do you still do stand-up? Do you still go
yeah.
on the road and travel,
mm-hmm.
something like that? So how do you... find the time to do that? Because for me, like, that would be a huge challenge.
It is.
Yeah.
I'm tired a lot.
Yeah, I bet. When I first started Motherhood in Hollywood, I was like, oh, this will be so great. I'll get all these, like, you know, wonderful stand-up comic moms, and they'll come on. They don't exist. There are not a lot of stand-up comic moms. I mean, I think there's some.
Yeah, there's
yeah.
some.
But it's not as prevalent as, like, your Amy Schumer types who are, like, you know,
young,
really...
Like,
young and like partying all the time. And is it a taboo to be a mom, do you think, in comedy? Or do you think that it's just a hard life, like a hard...
I don't think it's taboo. I think it's it is tough to switch, you know.
It's hard,
it's hard
well.
To go out at night.
It's
yeah.
really hard.
Yeah.
I used to do stand-up
yeah.
When my son was born. I was never professional, let me make that
I've seen the clips. It looks pretty professional.
Well, what I'm saying is, if I'd been making a living, then I probably would have continued to be making a living, but because I wasn't, when my son was born, I just didn't do stand-up anymore.
Yeah.
And but I actually started getting hired a lot more as a writer,
oh.
so it kind of worked out. But I mean, I think I'm sort of fortunate in that I have kind of the best of both worlds in that I have a job for 10 weeks, and then I'm a stay-at-home mom until I get the next job, and it's a little, it can be a little like, oh God, when am I going to get the next job?
Right.
But it's also nice that I get to have both experiences.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty lucky that way.
Yeah. And how do you think your kids are influencing, like, what you're writing and the comedy you're coming up with? Are they at all, like, or are you able to keep them separated?
When I was writing I went in for a cartoon pitch where I was supposed to come up with a bunch of premises for this new cartoon that, of course, didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
And my son gave me an idea, and I pitched it, and they loved it. I'm not kidding.
That's awesome.
And he was, if you don't think his head got big that day,
oh
my God, he was like,
what is it?
Oh, it was just, I can't remember exactly what it was. It was a show about a kid who takes care of monsters, and he had to come up with a bunch of different monsters, and he came up with one, and they loved it. So had the show gone, I would have probably written that episode.
Oh, that's
so
cool.
So he
that's
was
sweet.
Very impressed with some. He's not so helpful with sexy Om,
mm-hmm.
but
give him a few
disappointing.
He'll
get it.
And what about you? Do you find that your son, do you find humor in him? Because I know you also wrote a book based
on
your
book, but,
experiences.
I talk about him in my stand-up quite frequently.
Mm-hmm.
I talk about mothering. I don't necessarily talk about him. I make up a lot of lies about him. but I talk about me being a mother and having that forced on me. and having the whole experience is still very challenging.
Now, explain what you mean by force on you so people don't get the wrong idea that maybe you were sexually assaulted.
A gypsy threw a baby at
me. Right, and then you just ran.
That's what I tell my son.
Yeah.
No, I wasn't. I got pregnant by accident, and I just had the, I was like, fuck it. And why not? And so I was 40 or 41 when I had my kid. And so the life I lead now is not remotely
the life I visualize myself having.
So, even now, like, it's Christmas, I don't have a tree yet, and I was supposed to get one Sunday, but sometimes I'm just so tired I can't, I can only do one activity on my free day, and it's like laundry, on my day to myself. So, I just didn't. And I was walking home from work, and there's all these Christmas trees, and everyone's two-parent home houses, and I'm like, oh.
You're just like, guilt.
Yeah,
jealousy,
yeah.
Guilt, bitterness.
Yeah. I put lights in the window, but they're like all, it just looks shitty.
They're all like crooked. They're held up by like
non-clear scotch tape, which is a major fail. Two of them are out. Just stuff like that where I'm like, some ways I give them a shitty version of what I wish I could give them, but I'm just too tired. And this is all I got.
And one day he'll go, thanks, Mom. Or he'll say, I hate you, and that's like the worst possible outcome
ever.
I
think they say that anyway.
Oh my God. I'll die.
Well,
I'll die if she says that.
People say this to me all the time, but I think I mostly believe it's true, that it's really good to give a boy an example of a woman who is, working and doing something creative and doing something really, what they want to do and not just settling. And, it's kind of a powerful thing to give a little boy.
Yeah. I mean, hopefully, it'll work out okay, But but it is.
You don't sound really confident.
I just felt sad tonight when I was walking by all the Christmas displays.
Oh. Well, if you need to go, now it's okay. No. So tell me then, when you guys are, coming with ideas and stuff for your show, do you find that there are some things that anything off limits now that you're a mom, or anything that you're, more easily, maybe offended by, or would go for even more?
Honestly, I don't think my sense of humor has changed at all, being a mom. Nothing really offended me before, so nothing really offends me now.
Yeah,
so, he makes me laugh all the time, which is great, and I was making him laugh really hard last night, which just makes me really proud.
Don't you love that? You just
I love
feel like,
that.
Yes, I'm the funniest person in the world.
I know. It's kind of like a big rush. I'm not using the same material on him that I would have before. It was Spider-Man related, but it was hilarious. And, but no, I don't think I've changed as a person. I know you're supposed to become a better person, but I don't think that happened. I think I'm just the same person.
Yeah, my comedy's always been really dark, and now it's just aimed at motherhood.
Yeah.
Right? So it's a richer target.
Yeah.
You know, I do feel like when you're single and you don't have a kid and you're dark, it's almost like a game. Like, let's see what words I can get away with on
yeah.
stage. And now it's rooted in something real,
mm-hmm.
you know, and something that's sucking the life out of me.
No,
physically, financially, emotionally.
Every way,
yeah. So you're not on Pinterest a lot then? me neither.
I had a joint Pinterest. For a job I had last year, I had a joint Pinterest, and I'm like, what is this?
Yeah.
And then they told me, and I'm like, well, this is just depressing. These are all the things and the life
that you
I don't
will never
have.
Yeah.
Why do I
yeah.
want to look at that?
That you could never make, but somebody else did, and like, good for them.
Yeah.
I like looking at the pictures, but I'm like, I've tried a few things, and I'm bad at it. I'm the kind of mom that I'm like, I have aspirations to be awesome,
mm-hmm.
but I think I'm just okay. I mean, I think she'll live.
Well, you just have to be awesome in one way, like in just
yeah.
some way that gets to her. You don't have to be awesome in a way that a magazine, I mean, you don't
yeah.
you don't have to like make
true.
Crafts and stuff if you don't want to.
It's true, thank God.
Yeah,
yeah, I mean, my mom made crafts and she was a very depressed person.
You think there's
yeah,
a way?
Same here.
Why I don't associate
yeah.
joy with creating like tangible things,
mm-hmm.
you know? You know, my kid gets mostly D's. And I try to be cool. I'm like, well, you draw, you know, he draws. I'm like, you know, maybe he's got a creative spirit. So I definitely think being a comic, you kind of go, there's a lot of different ways to be as a person. And
yeah.
I know so many damaged people that sort of still, you know, are comedians and they still figured out a way to live. And I don't think I'm damaging my kid. You know, I just, I hope
good.
That it, but I, you know, I wonder like, should I just be harder on the grades? But I don't feel like being mean about it, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
because you know that he's got his own talents. And
yeah, maybe
yeah.
he's just
so you're not.
That's
not something
good,
you're worried
you know?
About. You're not worried about, like, him, you know, getting the straight A's or doing well in school, going to the right college.
I am, definitely, yeah. But
they have letter grades?
Well, it's he's getting ones. And
okay,
says
I was
going to
say, that's
what is
number?
One.
That's
equivalent to a D.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they do numbers now. So
yeah, they do numbers.
Yeah.
Oh,
they're just as depressing as a parent at a conference, you know?
But
yeah.
one feels like it's a good number.
Like,
you are
yeah.
number
no,
one.
No,
you can tell them that.
No.
That's not a good number.
When you
that's
said
so
the thing
weird.
About your mom being depressed in the crafts, I for some reason this came into my mind like yesterday, was the vision of my mom handing me, this is going to age me, but whatever, handing me like a bag of like, empty legs pantyhose
oh,
plastic
the cups. Yeah,
cups
the eggs, yeah.
And going like, make something. You know me? She just like gave me all the shit and was like, do something.
Make a craft.
Make a craft.
You know those old soda can pull tabs where you pull
yes.
them off?
Yeah.
Okay, we would collect those and then we glue glitter on them and those were our Christmas ornaments.
Oh.
Now I know why I'm not too into trees right now.
Yeah.
That's why it's hard for me to...
Was that a money-saving thing?
Probably. A little of both.
Yeah.
I guess.
Did you do like the popcorn
this is like a white
string?
Trash...
Yeah.
Whoa.
I mean, were they beer tabs or were they soda tabs?
They're beer tabs. What if they were beer tabs?
They were
beer
soda
tabs. I don't know. Was it an import? Was it a drop? I don't know. So you guys now are very funny women. No judgment, but you're hilarious.
Thank you.
And
thank
I'm
you.
Judging you. What do you see your kids doing in the future? Do you see them possibly following in your comedic footsteps? Or do you see them... Are you wanting to sort of steer them away from the industry a little bit? Because, I mean, you have been in the industry a long time.
Yeah.
Because of your parents and your family as well
yeah.
to painting. And do you find that because of your experiences, like, you just don't want
to... Yeah, I am... thankful every day that he doesn't say to me, I want to be in commercials or something
yeah.
like that. He is a ham. He thinks he's the most hilarious person on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, his friends will back him up. Sometimes I have to set him straight and tell him, you know, that one could use some polishing. But so I think I think if you, whatever he wants to do as an adult, I think I'm okay with it. I mean, it would be great if he did something practical, because this is a very tough life, and I couldn't make it as a ballet dancer, my fallback was being an actor. Couldn't make it an actor, my fallback was being a writer. I mean, you know, it's not really, really practical.
Yeah.
So, it would be great, but I think he'll probably want to, he says he wants to be a comic book artist. He
doesn't show
a particular propensity toward drawing. But he's great.
There's still time,
fun,
right?
And,
still
yeah.
Young.
And, you know, he thinks he does great impressions. They all sound the same. but sometimes he'll hit one, though, and you're like,
that's good.
That's a really good Stanley. But
is he really into like comic booky stuff and like?
He's really into superheroes. Really into superheroes.
Like the Avengers and all that stuff. He's
everything. He DC is his home, but he just.
And is that the one with Batman?
Yeah, that's the one with Batman.
Sorry.
But I'm just grateful that he doesn't want to be like a kid actor.
Yeah.
That's all I've. You know, if he wants
are
to
there
really
kid actors in your school?
Oh, I have heard that there are,
there
but
are
I don't know
are.
Them. I think they're
yeah.
older.
Yeah.
Like someone said, oh, that kid is on some soap opera. And I was like,
oh.
Oh,
wow.
Because we go to a charter school. It's public. It's not hoity-toity. So I was kind of surprised. But yeah, oh, so you have kid actors in your school?
I think so, yeah. I know there's a couple kids that go on auditions.
Mm.
You can usually tell the child actors because they're like, hi, I'm Sally.
Yeah.
And you're like, all right, dial it down.
Yeah.
It's getting harder.
Yeah.
I mean, it's for, like, not real people, kid actors.
I mean, I was a kid actor, but I mean, I didn't work a lot, so.
Maybe you just
so
like, hi!
Next time. My kid wants to be a comic. He wants to do some kind of art. I mean, he draws constantly.
Yeah.
You know, like at the parent-teacher conference where I was shown all ones. I was also shown a test where none of the answers were filled in, but there was drawings everywhere.
Oh, wow.
The comment was draws off task frequently. So, I don't know.
So there's a part of you that's, like, proud and all at the same time going, oh, fuck.
Well, I don't know. I mean, he's funny, and he's kind of a clown, probably the same way your son is, and it hasn't occurred to him to be a comedian, though, or an actor or anything like that. I think
maybe
he wants to be, like, just a funny guy. I don't. I would be bummed if he... My hope is that he'll see enough of the industry from me that he won't think it's, like, this mysterious thing he wants to try. He'll just be like, oh, all right, that's what those people do. And,
yeah. I get asked constantly if my daughter is going to be a star, and I'm like, she is. No, but I don't know that I want her to be, because we could go years without working as an actor, you know, or in my case, days. I mean, but you can, and you just never know when your next check. I'm such an asshole. But like, you just never know, like, when your next opportunity is gonna come up, and you know, you're filing for unemployment, you're, you know, begging your friends for money.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing, like, kids grow up so fast now anyway, and I think acting also puts them, it accelerates that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's
much more
insane.
Yeah, it's just not good to
it's
be
not
treated
healthy.
Like a grown-up
no.
when you're 8 or 9 years old.
Yeah.
You should be treated like a kid.
So I was going to ask you, I know you have to come up with jokes every day for Conan, but you also have really hilarious jokes every day on your Twitter feed. How do you do that? Because in my mind, I'm hilarious constantly, but the general public, it doesn't get it.
Well, I mean, it's just writing, you know? So it's, I'll usually put jokes up that I know Conan wouldn't do or aren't in his wheelhouse.
You mean on your own personal Twitter?
Yeah. Yeah, or, you know, when there's a mass shooting, I go bananas. and you know, incur NRA wrath and
yeah,
all
I did
that
notice
kind of stuff.
That. Yeah, you were.
Yeah, but, you know, I just, I don't know, you just kind of, your brain just starts going that way. If you have to write a bunch of jokes a day, of course you're going to come up with at least 5 that are not appropriate for television.
Right.
And you can see, I always see if I can just tweet them, if they work as tweets. Yeah.
Yeah, and... do you get, like, how do you handle the rejection of what you've written? Because my writing is so, like, personal. I'm like, this is it. This is the gem that I bring to you as my gift. And then if somebody were to tweak it or erase it or be like, this is horrible, I don't think I could take it.
So you just get used to it, just like anything else. You know, hopefully you're fortunate enough to work with good people who are
funny
and not assholes. And I think I've been very fortunate. Most people I've worked with are just, you know, good people. And also if they don't think what you wrote is funny, then that's just an opinion. And sometimes they're right, and sometimes it's like it's so subjective. And I mean, sometimes you can get your feathers ruffled, I suppose. But I don't know. My last few experiences have been pretty great.
Pretty positive.
Yeah.
Have you guys noticed all... I'm sorry, you were going to answer that question, too.
Oh, you just write so much every day.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you're going to have, like, a 90% rejection rate if you're writing jokes.
Yeah.
Like, or 95%, you know. If you only, you know, you get two or three jokes in the monologue and you wrote, you know, 50 that day, those are really...
50.
Right.
That's good to get two or three.
Well, because
more.
There's
yeah.
only, what, how many jokes are in the monologue?
Ten.
Like 10 jokes,
maybe.
Right. So
yeah.
that's actually a good percentage.
Yeah.
If you get two or three jokes in, that's
mm-hmm.
actually really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
And are you still the only female writer on Code and Staff?
No, Jessie Gaskell
okay.
is on, too.
Who used to be, who I used to write with, on
oh,
The
really?
Dish.
Oh, that's
cool.
great. Oh, cool.
Yeah, so it's kind of small.
Small world.
Yeah.
Do you guys find, as women in the writer's room, that you're treated differently or that maybe your jokes are taken differently in any way? Or is it just kind of like boys club, like, everybody's jokes are welcome?
I honestly have not. I don't feel like I have experienced
mm-hmm.
sexism. I feel like if you can hang and be comfortable, then that's all that's required.
Mm-hmm.
I had one experience writing for an award show that I felt like I was basically a glorified secretary.
Mm-hmm.
And that wasn't the fault of the other writer. It was like, I ended up in a lot of situations where it's like two writers, me and a guy. And in this case, the guy was my boss. He was great, but the guy above him kind of treated me shitty. And I don't think I'm overly sensitive about it. I'm pretty... I just haven't experienced it. I'm not saying it doesn't exist,
right.
But I don't feel like I've experienced, oh, she's not funny, she's a woman.
Yeah.
Not when I'm on the job. Maybe
all she has are vagina jokes and
right.
tampons.
Because I don't write like that, so, you know.
Yeah. No, it's weird, like, I'm part of a monologue team, and there's just four of us,
mm-hmm.
and the other three writers are guys, and so when I think... Like, when we all get together, it's just the three of us are all throwing it around ideas. It's a very small group, and
mm-hmm.
no one kind of overpowers anyone else, and we're all sort of trying to help each other. But when we get in the room with the sketch writers, and they're like this massive group of loud people, I mean, they're not all loud, but it gets to be like, I notice all of the monologue writers are like, these people are...
Do they just get quieter and like...
Yeah,
they get
a lot quieter, and I don't think it's gender-based as much as it is... sort of
personality,
maybe. Yeah, the sketch writers seem to have bigger and they're sort of used to
and
talking over each other. There's a lot more of them, and they know each other's sense of humor, so they'll be laughing at each other's stuff, and we're sort of like a little subset. So, you know, I think if you would talk to Jessie, who's the sketch writer, she
mm-hmm.
would, you know, probably answer similarly, where she feels much more comfortable or very comfortable with the sketch guys because they all get used to talking over each other, and you know, if I say a joke twice and someone talks over it twice, I'm like, all right, I give up. But a sketch writer will
be
like, they'll keep
yeah.
saying it until someone hears it.
That's interesting.
Yeah,
they're
yeah.
just the louder, like whoever is the loudest gets
well,
the most.
That
suggestion.
Is
yeah.
true. I mean,
yeah.
sometimes you do have to just be loud.
Yeah,
when you're riffing and stuff.
Yeah,
I have noticed that in the show I wrote on before this was a show on E called The Comment Section, and
yeah.
there were four of us writers plus a head writer.
Did that get canceled? Because I watched
it.
It
did.
I was one of the two that watched it.
Thank you. I appreciate that. When The Soup got canceled, it was basically that's it. Because it was the same executive producers.
Yeah.
Joel was one of our executive producers. And I think E just doesn't want to do comedy. Intentional comedy.
Hey everyone, I want to take a moment to tell you a little bit about Kinsa, the world's smartest thermometer. It is the number one tool for mom's peace of mind. It's also a great tool this time of year to help you battle the flu. Definitely want to make sure you have Kinsa in your arsenal of mom tools. It remembers temperature, symptoms, and medications, and more importantly, gives you guidance on what to do next so you can focus on what really counts, your kid's health. Go check it out at kinsahealth.com, the world's smartest thermometer.
Sometimes we collaborate lot of work, but we basically wrote on our own. But then when you get into the punch up, and then it's the people who are vocal, you know, who, and I realized, oh, I'm have experience being vocal in a room, and that's very helpful.
Yeah.
Because not everyone, even if they're quick enough, they might not say it, or they might not. And so that is actually a skill that comedy writers really should have.
That's so interesting, because do you think writers are more quiet?
But you need to be,
I mean, with a stand-up, you know, if you're a stand-up, you tell a joke, the audience laughs. Comedy writers don't laugh.
Mm-hmm.
You know, frequently they don't laugh. They'll just go, yeah, that works, or that's funny.
I don't laugh either. I think something is, like, really, really funny, I generally will just go, oh, yeah. And I think I read somewhere that your boss said that he does that as well. Like, he will think something is the funniest thing in the world, but he'll just go, oh, okay, cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's,
so,
like what everyone's doing right now. No, I love you guys. I'm just kidding.
No, but it does sort of, it is a little bit weird to get used to that.
Mm-hmm.
I know I'm saying something funny.
Oh, I see,
funny,
because,
and
yeah, you're used
laugh,
to stand-up.
And I'm used to, like, getting a laugh in it. Yeah, club. Because
with stand-up, you get that instant feedback of, this was funny what I said, but in a writer's room, it's maybe a little different.
Well, an audience is a different, you know, beast than other comedy writers, you know? And so an audience is there to be entertained, and other comedy writers are trying to top you in their head already.
Right.
So if you, even if you have a good line, they're like, ooh, god damn it, she got me.
Right,
yes. And so it's not...
How can I
say
it? Really,
it's competitive?
No, it's not like a mean thing. It's, kind of how anyone writes is they're always trying to do a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
And so... So people just aren't in a receptive laughing, oh, you entertain me mode necessarily. They're in a, do I have a better one than that? Or, you know, why didn't I think of that? There's a lot of that.
Well, and you're also trying to fix a problem.
Yes.
Usually, when you're, like, if you're in a punch-up situation, you're trying to fix a problem, meaning a joke isn't working, so let's find a joke here that works.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone will pitch, and so you're thinking, does that work? Yeah, that works.
Yeah.
You know, it could just be an analytical thing. I'm very analytical, and I think that's...
And often you're thinking about your audience, too. You're like, you know, I don't particularly think that's funny, but I think our audience will think it's funny, you know? And so you're sort of, you know, as Daniel said, clinically breaking it down to demographic, I guess.
And you kind of have to, I guess, be a good gauge of your audience if you're writing for... Like, because if you're performing a stand-up show, then you kind of know who's there to see you, right? Like, you know if you have fans who are coming to see you in particular, or do you think it's...
Not necessarily.
Different.
But what you do know is they came to see a show.
Mm-hmm.
So you do know they're sort of in a submissive role.
Yeah.
And you're sort of the dominant beast. But
go
it's
on.
Totally different.
Slower. Slower.
And then
it's
what
very
happens?
Different in a writer's room.
Yeah.
So I read, I do a lot of reading online because I have a lot of free time. I work at a news station on the weekends, and when I'm waiting for my reporter to call, I Google myself. And then I also read a lot of entertainment articles. So I read this article one time that was that said that mom-coms are the new, like, thing in comedy. Moms are, like, dorky and awkward and, like, you know, we're moms. We wear pants up to here and all of that, you know. Like, when is it not cool, or do you think it's just on a Hollywood phase?
I think being a mom can be really funny. I mean, I wrote a pilot that is about, you know, a mom group, a bunch of different moms. And I think it can be hilarious, and I think it's funny what people don't talk about. Like us, how we are... can be critical of our sons, and we love them to death, and we can also know that they're giant dorks and know that they're flaws, and, like, I'm very honest about, like, my own neuroses and the things I worry about for him, and, like, I think that's kind of hilarious because no one really talks about it. I don't really think the whole kind of thing of, like, moms can drink, and, like, I find that very boring, and... You know what I mean? You know what I'm talking about?
Like, I'm a mom looking at having wine.
Is,
and
right.
I'm
like,
a person. Yeah.
Right. It's like, I mean, it can get a little silly, you know.
Yeah.
But I also think, like, our generation of, like, Generation X generation of parents are a lot different from
the previous
earlier generations.
Yes.
And so that's one thing. And I think to your question about mom, I haven't heard that phrase before.
Mom comes,
sure it's out there. I mean, there's a lot of executives that are moms now. And they're how come I don't see myself on television? And a lot of powerful women are mothers, and they're still working. So
yeah,
I think that's something too.
There's a bunch of movies that are being made right now that are starring fabulous moms. And so I think that's sort of where that term came from, the mom-com. You know, it's moms that are starring in it, and the storyline is about moms and the wackiness that we get into as moms. And I don't know. I don't really get into a lot of wackiness on a day-to-day basis. I don't know about you guys. My life is kind of boring. I think I do the same thing over and over again.
It's just funny to me. Like, the things I think are just
funny
to me. Like, you know, my relationship with my son is just fraught with landmines. I mean, it's... But, no, it's just we're very close, and, you know, he doesn't let me out of his sight, and...
I think that's different. We were talking about that earlier. I think that's different with girls, because my daughter is like, bye, have a good night, see ya, and she does not want any part of it. Like, I mean, unless it's like bedtime or there's a boo-boo or something like that,
right.
And then she's like, mom. But for the most part, she's very, she's over me, is basically what I'm saying. She's over me. She's ready for college. Do you guys find that your sons are very, like, mama's boys, kind of, you know, for lack of a better term?
Mine is, yeah.
Really?
He I just kicked him out of my bed.
Oh, really?
And he's...
Have you been co-sleeping?
Yeah. When we moved out here when he was three, he and I, and then I was living in a series of Craigslist sublets because I didn't know if the job would be extended.
Right.
So we just kept moving from place to place. And I still had a place in New York, so I didn't want to, like, bring everything out.
Is that where you came back here from, is New York?
Yeah. And then, so I got used to having him sleep. Sometimes I would just rent an apartment that had one bed, and I would just have him sleep with me. And so we kind of got used to that. Because I never slept with, from age 0 to 3, I was like, you know, I turned the fan on really loud so I wouldn't hear him cry. I was like, I need to sleep.
I've done that too.
Yeah.
It's okay.
And so now, you know, he loves to sleep in the bed with me. He crawls into bed around 6 in the morning with me. So I'm trying to slowly come. I mean, I know he'll go soon enough.
But that's okay.
Wait,
he's just sleeping in the morning.
Yeah. But before that, it was all the time. And,
but,
and he sleeps like in an X formation. I'm not getting any sleep.
You're like, scoot over, buddy.
When my husband's out of town, my son sleeps in the bed with me.
Yeah.
And so it's like once a month or twice a month. And this last few days, we were doing, you know, Elf on the Shelf. You know Elf on the Shelf, right?
No, what is that? Elf on the Shelf. I thought you said Off on the Shelf. And
Elf on the Shelf. And I was panicked that I was going to fall asleep before I moved the goddamn elf. He was in the bed with me, and when he's in bed with me, I just usually fall asleep.
Oh,
so I was like, I was like rubbing his back, going, stay away. But he's totally fine when on his own. But if I'm in the vicinity, then all bets are off. Have you seen the movie Room?
Is it scary?
No, well, no, but it's about the woman who's bit. She's, you know.
No,
someone
what's
else
about?
She's. It's a great book. I'm reading the book and the movie. She's abducted when she's a teenager. So she lives in this room, and then her abductor rapes her, and she has a baby. So the son grows up in the room, and all he knows is the room, and all he knows is his mom.
The old heartwarming story.
Yeah.
The room.
But I think that's my son's dream come true.
Just
me and him in the room. You know,
yes, totally.
No, we live in room. That's bad. You know, that's like
mom.
You know,
I'm never gonna leave
outside. You know, I think that would be.
Yeah.
Oh
my gosh, that's so funny.
No.
I'm curious to see like how Chan's gonna like continue to grow and develop because. Like, as a person, because she's just so fiercely independent, and, like...
That's awesome, though.
Is it? I don't know. I feel like
I don't know.
That's where I'm, like, a shitty mom, because I'm always like, you know, come here, let's cuddle, and she's like, no. Like,
but how old is she?
She's 2.5, so I don't know if that's maybe, like, her age, or she just doesn't like me so much.
I think it's a girl age thing. Honestly, God, I used to be a nanny and a babysitter, and...
Oh, really?
Yes, and girls, I remember having... Crazy tantrum. Not me having the tantrum, but
at
that age, girls are very
she
defiant
does.
And they
yeah.
really want to establish, you know, their own identity. And I think
boys are not like that.
Well, because
I do see boys on the playground. They do not have the tantrums that she has. They just don't.
Yeah, I think if a single man raised a son, then you might see the same thing. But because it's opposite sex and the mom is the one who's there most of the time,
yeah.
I think it's that's where the bonding comes in, because you are the same gender, she's going to rebel against you because she's establishing her own personality.
Yay.
See?
I'm looking forward to that. I do feel like as she gets older, she's gonna give me a hard time. I do feel I say that knowing that my husband is over there going, yep. Sure, he knows.
Yay.
Do people ask you guys all the time if you're like you're having more kids or if you wanted more kids? Because I feel like I get asked all the time, when do you have another kid? You want to have more kids? And I'm like, lay off.
Yeah. I used to get asked it a lot. I think people get it now. I mean,
I know at some
eight.
Point you can't have
what?
More kids.
Like, I don't know if it's biologically possible.
Stop asking me.
Yeah, I think I got asked a lot.
Was it a conscious choice to just have one? I know yours was maybe.
I didn't think I could handle another one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you have some really funny stuff that you say about your baby daddy. When you're a stand-up.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say baby daddy. But it cracks me up that you're like, he's Mexican, right? So your kid is half Mexican.
Yeah, right.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I love it. Mexicans are the best.
Woo!
Except
for us. Oh, I didn't know. Take it back. So what is that like? Was that you sort of had single momdom thrust upon you?
Yeah, I'm still pissed. I'm still just like, God damn it. It's fucking hard.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't have any good hope or cheer. It's hard. I'm tired all the time. And I never feel like I do a good job. And I think he got ones because his dad isn't around. I don't know what the fuck. So.
Yeah. I love that you're so honest about it, though. And you're not like, well, let me check my Pinterest account. And then I'll tell you. So where do you guys see yourselves going, like, in terms of career-wise? Do you want to continue writing for Conan? Obviously, I'm sure you do.
I hope he stays on the air for a long time. Yeah.
And you weren't there when he went through all that stuff with, like,
no,
NBC.
No, I came on after TBS. Yeah, I have a house that is right near the studio. And my kid goes to school across the street.
Nice.
So it's a good little, I don't have any commute. Like, I try to arrange it so I can be home as quickly as possible. And,
good.
We spend as little time as possible in the car.
Do you worry that if your jokes aren't funny enough that you might lose your job? Is that a fear?
I think for the first year I was freaked out. I think everyone has like that sort of imposter syndrome that's
sure.
not uncommon.
They're going to find out that I'm not funny.
Yeah. But then after I got a couple pickups, I was like, okay, I felt good. I hit my numbers. So if I was getting no jokes on, constantly, I'd be like really freaked out.
Is there a certain number that you want to hit, or is it like a self proposed kind of
It's self-governed, but I'd like to get a fourth of them. If I got a fourth, that's good. Some days I get more, and then they offset the days where I'm sucking, so it sort of evens out.
Are you guys all given the same premises?
Yeah, we
write
a lot of our
premises,
and then we share them, and so we're dealing with maybe 100 different sentences that are setups, and we go from there.
What do you mean? So, like, they come and give you, like, a sentence about...
No. Like, we'll just read the news in the morning.
Oh.
I think we take, like, an hour in the morning just to read, like, Politico and Newser and Huffington Post and Gawk and Jezebel and Talking Points Memo and, science, a bunch of science, different science blogs and stuff, and to find good stories that would be good setups.
Oh, so you don't have someone finding the stories for you?
We have interns, but we do it too because we have new interns
all the time.
We had that.
Yeah, that's so funny. When I was on The Dish, we had the same thing. We would be given premises.
Yeah.
So, and every morning we'd write jokes on the premises.
Yeah.
So somebody would come in for you then and look at the news of the day and say, here's what's kind of happening.
Not interns, but PAs.
Yeah.
And, but occasionally, and they were very young, and occasionally it would be something where you're like, are you fucking kidding me? Did you see what they said? They want us to do. Yeah.
And a lot of, like, I don't know, I find that if, I'll read an entire article and then you get a lot of good
quotes that aren't in the headlines. And I think, you know, they're interns, so, they're working for free, so you can't complain. And they're trying to get as many in as possible, but sometimes they just grab the headline. It's like, no, the real thing is Mitt Romney said this
right.
thing, or Ted Cruz said this thing, and it's the fourth paragraph. It's in the fourth paragraph.
Right. Yeah. And you're very political as well. Are you also very political? Or political, I mean, in that you have very strong political opinions. Not that you're running for office.
Right. I don't think I'm particularly political in my comedy, although I can... A joke is a joke, and if you're going to write a topical joke, I've certainly written jokes like that. But like when I did stand-up, I didn't do anything political, really. Although that was a long time ago, maybe I would now.
There's so much
but
to choose from.
I mean, I try to be aware, and I have views that are probably pretty, concurrent with most people in Los Angeles.
Yeah. I don't do any political on stage. I feel like such a waste of time.
Why? Do you think that the audience will turn against you? Or?
No. It's disposable.
You can use it once.
It's dead the next week. And so to put any of your energy into... Like, I'm very, aware of how much energy I have every day, and to put some of it towards a Trump joke that's going to be no good next week versus I could be putting that energy into a joke about my kid that it could be evergreen.
Do you find that you have to... Well, you are, like I said, you are very political in your tweets, and you're very passionate about some things. Do you find people are turning on you at all? Or, I used to be a fan of yours, and now that you have these woman thoughts, I'm out of here.
I get a tweet from, somebody about, who's a gun rights, loves guns,
mm-hmm.
that followed me. And so I'm like, well, let me do you a favor and block you.
Yeah.
It's like, why are they following you in the first place? Are they fan of your comedy?
I don't know. And you know what? You get fucking free jokes on Twitter. You get free shit from me.
Right.
And you're complaining because after a mass shooting, I express outrage. Fuck you.
Right.
Block.
I'm from Oklahoma originally, so my Facebook feed is literally like, I hate everyone that's gay. We love all the gays and rainbows. And it's like every other post is like, we love guns. We hate guns. And nobody can decide. So I just kind of scroll through and I enjoy all of the crazies for sure. And sometimes I'll just click like on the crazy post just to give them a little boost so they'll post something else. So I'll have something else to laugh at. Where do you guys, I may have asked this earlier, but I skipped it. So what do you guys want to do from here on out? I know you say you want to stay with Conan.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever want to write scripted television and that sort of thing? Or would you like to stay with talk show type format?
I've written scripts and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. What I like about my life now is it works with stand up really well.
Mm-hmm.
Everything kind of all my pieces are sort of fitting together right now.
Yeah.
So I'm not eager to disrupt it. But I do think when my kid is in high school, I'd love to just go on the road again.
Oh, really?
I mean, when he's out of high school,
yeah.
not in high school, but when he's done, when
so
I'm
just
done, when I'm done being a parent, I'm moving back to New York, and I don't know. I mean, I'll.
But your dream is to go on the road again, do more stand-up?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I mean,
stand-up
comics though love
in Europe. I'd love to go. I'd love to base myself out of London for a year or two and just go. There's all these gigs that are English speaking all over Europe.
Right.
That sounds amazing.
That does sound amazing.
Yeah.
Actually. That sounds really.
Cool. Yeah.
I would just like to write for a show or network that people have heard of.
We've heard of Comedy Central.
That's my... I have not written on Comedy Central, but thank you.
Oh, wait. What was the
Comedy
Central on E? That's right. Oh, yeah. That's right.
So, my goals are not that lofty. I would love to write scripted a sitcom. I think that would be... when I say I grew up on sitcoms, I mean, I feel like I studied them, they were part of my education. And so that's always been a dream. I would like to do that.
And is that something you would do with your husband ever? Because I know he's a really funny guy.
My husband, Jimmy Pardo, is very, very funny. He is not a writer.
No?
Doesn't
he do stand-up?
He's a very accomplished stand-up, but most of his stuff...
He's brilliant.
Yeah.
Thank you. He is brilliant, but most of his stuff is off the cuff.
He's a riffer,
and we sort of have opposite talents.
So you like to plan and plot out your jokes, and he'll just
he is very good off the top of his head, but as he will say himself, if you sit him down in front of a computer and tell him to write something, like, that's not his skill.
Yeah.
So, and when I did stand-up, I loved writing the jokes, and I liked performing, but I just, even with all my performance background, I just don't think I ever got past being uncomfortable in it. You know, he's so completely comfortable, it's kind of, like, awe-inspiring. Like, I'm just... But he, as he'll say, he can't do what I do. So it's just, we are completely different.
So you don't think that you guys would ever collaborate on something together?
Well, we have a little bit collaborated on things, but not like, we wouldn't sit down at a computer together and write something. It's not like his thing. You know, I might write for him or, you know, I think I can write in his voice. I've done it a couple of times. But, like, he's done pilots and stuff I've written on.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's just... It's funny because we are very, very, and even our sense of humor is not completely the same. Like, he's a little bit goofier than I am, and I'm a little more.
He's very goofy. His podcast is really funny. I've listened to that a bunch, and he's very much almost kind of got that old Hollywood-y, like, hey, how's it going? Hey, how you doing? Hey, I'm Jimmy.
Yeah.
You
yes,
know,
people
kind of a thing.
Will say that. He's like kind of Ricklesy and stuff.
Yeah, very much so.
It's called Never Not Funny. I feel like I should say that.
Never Not Funny with Jimmy Pardo.
Yeah. And he actually used to work at Conan, and we did...
Like, as a writer?
No, he was... He's not a writer.
I know, that's right. He's a riffer. He's a riffer.
He did the warm-up. And we did experience the transition from the Tonight Show to... Yeah, so it was a whole... How like, he
that?
Literally said, I'm on the Tonight Show. That's never going to end. Like, it was... So we did experience the upheaval of that tumultuous.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. What was that like? Were you just, I can imagine, you know, this wonderful dream job was laid out. You think you're set?
It was also just very weird to see your dream job being talked about in the news, you know?
Yeah,
and like,
yeah.
I would be at work, I was working on the dish at the time, and people would be like, oh my God, did you just hear? And like, it would be all this weird stuff that I would know, you know, from the internet before I knew it from him. And
wow.
It was just bizarre. It was bizarre. Yeah. It's a little unsettling.
I remember all of that happening because I worked as a tour guide at NBC Universal for many years. And I remember when we welcomed Jimmy Fallon on as the new host, like a few months after we had just welcomed Conan on as the new host. And it was...
Weird.
We had to be equally excited about both. I remember when that whole transition happened. It was really interesting. And I don't know, he recovered well. He's kicking butt on TV and doing well.
I'm sure he feels like it worked out for the best, right?
Yeah. If you could give one piece of advice to future moms or anyone who might be pregnant. Thank you very much, everybody. That's it. You would just be like, just don't do it. Right. I don't think there's anybody here who even has kids. There may be like one or two people in the audience that has kids. So yeah. How many? Just by a round of applause. How many of you have kids? And how many of you do not have children?
The difference in the energy.
Yeah,
the
I know.
Yeah. It was a little different. Like, there was a major difference. The parents were like, we're so tired, wrap it up. And everyone else was like, when do we get back to the bar? But yeah, so like you would say abort. All right, good advice. What would you say to like future for people who are in this industry and like thinking about having kids or, you know, it's a big change. I know it was for me anyway, so.
Well, I have a couple of things come to mind, which really don't have much to do with the entertainment business. Although, like I said before, I did end up work. I got more work after I had him. For whatever reason, I just started working very regularly.
Me too.
You too. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if it's like
Because your material changed. Do you think or
no?
I think your mindset changed.
Your mindset.
Yeah.
Like, Jesus fucking Christ! I got to put this thing through college. You get serious fast.
I don't know what it was. It could just be coincidence on my part. I don't know. I just know that I struggled forever and ever and ever, and then I suddenly had a kid and then I had a career. So it was very strange. But this is the thing I tell all new mothers, and has nothing to do with business. Is that okay?
Yeah, of course.
That thing they tell you in the hospital about how you have to feed the baby every 2 hours, that's fucking bullshit. And it will ruin your life. Forever. Let the baby sleep.
Yes.
I want to sue those nurses because I believe, because I am a follower and I am a good student, and they told me
to feed every 2 hours.
To feed every 2 to 3 hours.
And did you wake him up to feed him?
Yes.
Oh, no.
They told me to. Oh, they convinced me he would die if I didn't get him up every 2 hours.
Oh, no.
But by the way, the 2 to 3 hours starts when you wake him up.
Yeah.
Not when you're done.
Yeah.
So the 2 to 3 hours is fucking an hour.
An hour and a half.
Yeah.
Yeah. So every hour and a half, you're feeding your baby.
Yeah. It's a nightmare.
Also,
I don't know if this is your experience, but my experience is it only gets better as they get older. It's much more fun.
Yeah, it's easier.
It's
easier.
It's enjoyable. I don't know what the snicker was about.
I'm waiting for that part to happen because we're in the throes of the terrible twos.
I know.
She's a crazy person. She'll be like, "Mommy, I love you. Get the dragon," and I'm like, "What dragon?" Or she'll be like, "I want that sock," and I'm like, "Oh, this sock. Here you go. No, that one." And I'd be like, "What sock is she pointing to? There are no socks." They're crazy. She's a little crazy.
Do you ever think maybe something you're doing?
Maybe. 100%. I'm sure it is.
I think kids are just, and they're all, I will say this, they are all different, and there is no, you know, as good as I am about comparing myself to other people, usually unfavorably, you just can't compare because they're all fucking different. They're all come out with their own weird personalities.
Yes.
And,
Yeah, I also think our kids are going to live to be, like, 100 easily.
Yeah.
And so, you know.
Got a long development
life
to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't have to, like, get into Stanford. I'm already making excuses.
you don't have to go
to college. You can go to technical college. And then in your 50s, you can go to
the last time I talked to you, you were self-described tiger mom. And your kid was, like, in 5 languages, and now
he was in a Spanish school.
Wow. Yeah.
And then I couldn't take the driving anymore in the morning. It was, like, 40 minutes round trip in the morning. And
to the Spanish school?
Yeah.
I feel like you could just go out and, like, anywhere in LA and be like,
"You're in Spanish school." Yes.
Go to Home Depot today for school.
Like, her child speaks Spanish, and they speak English at home, so the child is already, the 2-year-old already speaks Spanish and English, but she wanted to enroll her in a French immersion school so she could be trilingual, and I was just like, Channing said boobies the other day.
is this the lycée?
Who?
The French school, the lycée?
Oh, I don't know. I did not ask any further because I can't afford it. I know I can't afford it, so I'm
the Spanish one was public. It was in, but it was near Eagle Rock, so it was really far.
Oh, wow.
Well, I just want to thank you guys for coming on the show. I know we're almost done with our time, but I know you guys are very busy moms, and I appreciate you taking the time to leave your child behind. I know it was hard. but to come and be on my podcast because this show means a lot to me. I'm, as I was telling you earlier, I'm a mom who's also an actress, and I'm still trying to figure out what my place is in this industry, you know, with my daughter. And this podcast has been so much fun to be able to do it. And still be able to stay at home with my daughter. So you guys being a part of it tonight and helping us to raise money for No Kid Hungry means so much to me. So thank you guys very much. You guys, big round of applause, please. For Rachel Harris and Daniel Koenig. Thank you guys so much for coming and supporting. I love you all. And listen to this show. It's going to be coming out on December 28th. So good night, everybody. Thank you. Thank you guys so much.
Balls.